Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, how are you? Good morning, Ryan. I'm doing great. It's a great day to be alive.
It is.
We've had such nice weather here.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's been a beautiful fall.
Gorgeous. On Saturday, we were out by the river at the dunes. I think we reached a temperature of 26 degrees down.
Wow.
There. It was so hot. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was just so great. And beautiful colors. The trees were yellow and orange brown and red and green, you know, obviously the green trees, the evergreens, but it was quite something. And the water was perfectly still on the river. So you could look at one on the river and see the reflection of the mountains.
Wow.
It was seamless. It was amazing. It was truly awesome. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Beautiful time of year.
Oh, loving it. Hey, some good news. We're noticing, Ryan and I are noticing some of our analytics from our podcast. And we want to say a big shout out, obviously, to the 64% of you who come from Canada who listen to us. And then the 23% of you from the United States, which I'm assuming are 99% Texans.
Maybe my family or your friends.
Your family. But hey, there were some other interesting ones. People listening from Hong Kong, from Ireland, no less. Hey, yeah, woohoo, that's my heritage. And also the Netherlands, United Kingdom.
You might know somebody from the Netherlands, hey?
Oh, yeah, that would be my daughter and her. Yeah, that's right. So that could be them. That's the 1% from there. And Singapore, I don't know who'd be listening from there. And Russia, no less.
Yes.
Russia's, what do they call that now? They call that, they're invading our podcast.
Invading our podcast. Yeah. If you are from one of these other countries, reach out. We'd love to hear from you and hear how you got connected to Pastor's Ponderings and what your thoughts are.
Yeah. Yeah. We always want to be improving and of course getting the word out. Mm-hmm. So, I think if I read that right, we are looking at, 111 total plays and 20 estimate audience per podcast. We started with nothing.
We started with nothing
a month ago. I know, a month ago. So hey, that's pretty good growth. We're pretty excited about that.
And even you Canadians, if you are listening, want to reach out, if you want to know more about our church, more about who we are, please feel free to reach out, hintonalliance.com. You can find our email addresses there. Kevin and I are happy to chat, send you an email, go for a cup of coffee.
Yes, especially if you're paying. If I'm paying, it's Tim Hortons. If you're paying, it's Starbucks. All right. Well, this last Sunday, we did not preach. Like, I didn't preach, you didn't preach, but we had a guest preacher.
Yes.
And his name is Bob Thorne, and his wife Karen was with him. And they are international workers for the kingdom, and they work in Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia.
And they work specifically with a church there, but they also have an arm of that ministry, which is what they spent most of their time talking about, was the plight. And I use that word with a capital P, of the Rohingya people.
Yes.
And they are starting to make some ripples in mainstream media. I have noticed a few articles, and even a couple of times I've seen them mentioned on some of the news broadcasts, because they are really truly a people without a country.
Yeah.
And they are mostly found in Myanmar, but because of the policies of the country there, and some of the aggression of the Buddhist believers there, they have been basically their government has burnt down their villages, and so they've become refugees, and most of them live in Bangladesh in a huge camp of over a million people in a refugee camp. Staggers the mind.
Just
like,
astounding.
You just kind of rub your head and go, I don't get it. I don't understand that, that whole world.
No.
Many of them are separated from their families. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the way he was talking about it, and just jump in right, at any time. The way I understood it was these guys, they recognize that there's no hope or very little hope
right.
in the refugee camp. Mm-hmm. There's nothing for them there. Some of them have a little bit of education before the trouble came, I guess in 1980 something. When the trouble came and that mm-hmm. sent them into refugee right. status. And they had some education, but not a lot. And some of them, like the story that tugged at my heart the hardest was the 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Who, right? He's in a family.
On a boat.
Only son. Was that right? Was that the mm-hmm. same? Like, he told so many stories. I can't remember
right.
them all. But he's the only son of this family. So he would be of several kids. And in that culture, he would be sort of a very important figure for the family to have as their kind of head
right.
if dad ever passed away.
Yeah.
And so in that structure, he was crucial, but he decided at 10 years old to get basically hop on one of these boats that these guys,
human trafficking.
They take him overseas. The experience was horrid.
Absolutely horrendous on these ships.
He was abused. He was beaten. He was like, he fed him. What did they feed him? Like
handful of rice
and some water. And if they asked for more, he got beat.
He got beat. And if he cried,
he got beat. Yeah, I told him to stop crying, you know. Oh, my goodness.
Nobody's standing up for him because they were afraid of what the human smugglers would do to them.
Right. Yeah, so no one would stand up and say, don't treat this little boy this way because then now you're the target.
Right.
Ugh, just brutal.
Just horrendous circumstances.
And if someone died, many of them did die, and he said that they would just throw them overboard.
Yeah.
Like as rubbish. Mm-hmm. Just toss them over the walls of the ship. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they would make their way to the southeastern country, mm-hmm. and there they are illegal immigrants.
Yeah,
and they get taken advantage of because so they're treated more like slaves. Mm-hmm. They get paid a pittance if they get paid at all.
Yep, and then if they're caught by the cops, they will be thrown in jail or forced to pay a bribe
to
get off the hook.
Yep. So even then their paycheck, which is already small, that's supposed to go to their family in the refugee camps, gets there because it's taken away.
Yeah.
And hope is in short supply, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yes.
I think that was his main reason for telling all those stories is that you get a sense of the absolute hopelessness of their situation.
Mm-hmm. That even that far-reaching hope of maybe if I make it to this other country, then maybe I can get a job. Maybe I can support my family back in Bangladesh. And even that is a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just a disappointment too. I would see even more. It's like torn out of them. Like it would be surprising to me. And I think I did ask this question later on after the service, how many of them don't just take their lives because, mm-hmm. you know, like, why go on?
What's the point?
Right. What's the point? Mm-hmm. And I think he said that they do, but who keeps the stats of that? Nobody knows. Nobody has an idea. But these ones who don't, you know, they're still looking for that hope.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was it was very enlightening for one thing. I feel like I understand a bit better what the plight is of those people.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to hear it. And it's hard to kind of find a measure in your head when you hear stories like that.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost like you've been desensitized.
Definitely. We see so much on the news, so much on TV, so many movies.
Right.
That it's then you hear these stories of reality.
Yeah.
And I think it's like you said, you've been desensitized, but then you hear personal stories. Mm-hmm. This isn't just a movie. This isn't just a show, but this is somebody who has stood face to face with these people.
Yeah.
And has a firsthand account of what's going on.
Yeah. And such a heart, hey, like they're both very, I guess, tender hearted about them.
Mm-hmm.
Even showing their emotions in the service. Like I know you choked up a couple times.
Yeah.
As he was sharing some of these stories. Another story that he mentioned that I thought was incredible was the story of him being able to go back with, because he has all right. the pictures of all these guys that they work with. Mm-hmm. So they have, basically what they do is they have a school to learn English.
Right.
And I guess in that sense, they're learning English, but they're also learning the Bible.
Right.
And they were able, and I don't know how they did this. I should have asked for more questions about it, but they have the book of Luke. So the Gospel of Luke mm-hmm. in Rohingya. It's not a written language. It's right. an audio Bible. Mm-hmm. So they have this access to them. So then they're trying to teach them how to learn English. Mm-hmm. What a job. If you don't even have a written language yourself from your right. own language, how do you jump to knowing another language?
Right.
He told about that one kid, that one, that 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. How many languages? He said eight?
Eight.
Eight languages.
Eight languages.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so one of the guys from that he's been working with, like he has them all on his phone, and he went to the refugee camp, and he was in a group. If I got the story right, he was in a group showing pictures. Do you know this person? Do you know this?
Well, and people would come to him.
Right.
People would come to him because they knew he was from this other country.
Right.
And they would come to him saying, can I look through your pictures to see if you yep. if you know my loved one?
Yeah.
And the vast majority of times doesn't right. have a picture. But right. this time
he found somebody. Right.
They found their brother.
And they took him to the mom. Mm-hmm. And he said that she totally broke all cultural rules.
All cultural
by yep, rules, yeah. latching onto him. And he said it was uncomfortably long weeping.
Yeah.
Because finally, you know, her boy, she see her boy right there. Mm-hmm. And she even took off her veil to show yeah. him her cancerous tumor on her throat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he prayed for her but basically it kind of was a cool exchange because that young fella treats Bob like father. He even calls him father.
Yeah.
And the mom saw him looking after him. And Bob's mom has passed away. So the mom said, I'll be your mom.
Oh, wow.
Right. So mother, you know, kind yeah. of figure to him. So that was really cool. Yeah, you
know? Just amazing.
Just the stories were so, and I think you're right. If you just hear it or see it on the news, you kind of like, okay, that's very sad or whatever. Mm-hmm. And maybe you fire off a prayer or two
right.
that God would, you know, watch over them and help them mm-hmm. with their struggles. But when you see people who, you know, they live this.
Yeah.
And their hearts are aching for them because they've been separated because of COVID. They can't get mm-hmm. back to this country. They're not allowing anybody in.
Yeah.
So he can't get back to these folks. And you can just see the ache in their heart that they yeah. want to get back and be with these people and encourage them and bring hope. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
And really that's what Bob was on about. And he mm-hmm. read this passage. I thought, let's just have a look at this.
Yeah.
It's in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And it's such a powerfully positive passage.
It
right?
is.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope.
Yes.
Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah. I just thought, wow, look at that.
Living hope.
Living hope. What does that even mean? Like, how would you... If someone came to you and said, well, what's the difference between that and just normal hope? You know, how would you break it down for somebody if they were to ask you that question?
You know, so many times when we think of things that we hope for, we hope a situation will happen.
Yeah.
We hope that, you know, a situation will get better.
Yeah.
We hope that a sickness will end.
Right.
They're all kind of scenarios.
Yeah.
They're situations.
Right.
They're sometimes tangible things that we hope for,
mm-hmm.
but our hope is in a person,
right?
A person who's proven how much he cares for us,
right?
By dying in our place and yeah. then being raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And I think when we think of it in that perspective of, you know, the journey that Christ went on to bring us hope mm-hmm. of suffering and dying, being nailed to a cross,
yeah,
taking on our punishment,
yeah,
bearing our burden, bearing our griefs. He bore all of that on the cross. Mm. And then he rose from the dead, mm. conquering those things.
Right.
And so when we think about our hope in Christ, it's remembering that it isn't just on circumstances that might or might not happen.
Right.
It isn't just hoping for situations to get better maybe one day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's remembering, no, Christ died mm. and was raised from the dead, and he is now living. Mm-hmm. And our hope is, its foundation is in him, mm-hmm. in a living person.
Yeah. It's connected to him.
That's right.
It's better than wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Right? Because wishful Definitely. Thinking is great.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't have wishful right. thinking? I think even these Rohingyas, these people who are trying to get to this yeah. other country, they have wishful thinking.
Of course, right? yeah.
But they're so often disappointed by that kind mm-hmm. of hope. Quote, you know, I've got my air quote, my right. air quotes going here. Is it really hope at the end of the mm-hmm. day? Or is it just disillusionment?
Yeah.
And wishful thinking, and mm-hmm. circumstances change, like the shifting sands or shifting right. winds, or even like the waves of the sea. They yeah. just, it just changes. Nothing ever stays the same, except if you put your hope in a living hope, which mm-hmm. is Christ, who That's is right. Christ. He is our hope. He yeah. never changes. Mm-hmm. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The nothing shifts around him. If I hang on to him, like I think of that old hymn, I just had it come into my head. Mm-hmm. My anchor holds.
Yeah.
You know, like the storms of life can rage. As long as my anchor holds, I'm That's fine. Right. I can withstand the storm.
Yeah.
But if my anchor shifts or moves, mm-hmm. wow, now I'm, yeah. now I'm in trouble. Now I'm in trouble. Because now the ship can break up. Mm-hmm. And you find that Christ is that living hope. He is like the anchor of your soul.
Yeah.
He's a place where it won't shift. It won't move. It's not sinking sand. It's not shifting sand. It's That's not right. anything other than solid rock. Mm-hmm. And even he calls himself the rock, right?
Yeah,
he, and throughout right. the scriptures, rock is also a term for like truth.
Right.
But he is truth because yeah, he is truth personified. Right. Mm-hmm. So living hope. I also think of the word living as it's breathing. It's mm-hmm. with you.
Yeah.
As you go through your life, it's not just one sort of a once for all. I put my hope in Christ. Okay. It's all good. Right. Now. But it's living. It's
continuing.
It comes yeah. with you when things seem hopeless mm-hmm. or look hopeless. If I look to Christ, I know my hope will be filled. Mm-hmm. I know that I can latch on to him, that even in the darkest times, I can know that there will come an end to this. I can know that I will see the other side of this yeah. thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives us great courage to face big challenges and to face huge hardships.
Yeah.
Like these poor Rohingya people. Hey? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I can't help but think about the last few weeks that we've preached in Ephesians. Mm-hmm. In him.
In
him. Yeah, in him.
Yeah. Yeah. True enough.
It's a person. It's right. Jesus.
It's Jesus. So when I ask for peace, he is my peace.
That's right.
When I ask for joy, he is my joy. Right. When I ask for righteousness, he is my righteousness. Right. He is my wisdom. When I ask for wisdom, it's him I'm right. asking for. So when I ask for hope,
he is our hope.
He is our hope. That's He's the right. one I'm asking for. Yeah. So it's actually in him. Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. It's not in something else. Yeah.
That's right.
Very, very true. Hmm. Awesome.
So you think in that context of sharing with these people who have lost all hope,
yes.
No, Jesus is your living hope.
Right.
Jesus is your hope.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite a strong message, eh? Mm-hmm. It's hard. Like, even as you hear them sharing, you realize that, what have they had, 4 people come to know Christ in the last 5 years or whatever?
Right. Very slow.
Very slow. And it's not about numbers or success, then. No. You know it for sure.
That's right.
It's about love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about loving these people.
Because the number of people that they are loving and building relationships yeah. with is far more than 4.
Oh, yeah.
And they
yeah.
see the fruit yeah. in that.
Yeah.
And they're trusting and they're waiting on the yeah. Spirit to move in yeah. their lives.
They're throwing their seed out onto the ground
yes.
and trusting that some of it, a good portion of it, yep. hopefully, is landing on good soil.
That's right.
But they don't always get to see the fruit of it, right? Mm-hmm. That part alone, I think for them, for Bob and Karen, I think that's a part of the burden that they carry, mm-hmm. is that it is such slow work.
Yeah.
That you can't just be a, you know, flash in the pan, a right. fly by night, you know, zoom in, spread the gospel, zoom right. out. This is a day by day, night by night. Like, how many times that young guy calls him all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, like several times a
day. Several times a day, yeah.
And you can just see that, you know, obviously it's annoying. Yeah. You know, that would be annoying. But I mean, he just tries to be very firm and say, listen, I can't talk to you this many times a day. Mm-hmm. I can talk to you now because right. I'm not doing anything. But the last five times you tried to call right. me, I can't answer. So don't be offended, but that's right. the way it is. That's if you try to call me yeah. so much, you know, but you can just see that there is such a strong pull there mm-hmm. to, it's a long, slow journey.
Right.
You know, I think that's, and that's part of it. And I was listening to my brother preach the other day, and I thought of this because Bob, as part of our, just the weekend we had time together, we talked about how he's a destination person. Mm-hmm. He wants to get where he's right. going. So even on their trip home yesterday, they were going to stop, I don't know, half a dozen times in the park to go for yeah. these little hikes up into these little waterfalls and stuff off of the highway as they head down. So it's 97C, I think it is, mm-hmm. that heads down to Banff. And they were going to stop and do that. And he said, that's so not me. I get in the car. I'm
going to get there.
I'm getting to my destination. And I think there's something mm-hmm. to be said about the whole thing of not being so destination driven, mm-hmm. that it's actually journey driven.
That's right.
And if you slow the scriptures down, and I mean really slow them down,
right?
Because everywhere Jesus went, he walked, mm-hmm. even though it's story after story after story after story, they walked right. to walked the next town.
Next town, yeah.
Or they walked to the next village, or they walked to Jerusalem, or they mm-hmm. walked to this, you know, other city outside of Israel, right. A Judea. And you know that none of that stuff happened in fast forward.
No.
It was long term, long slow, days, methodical. Slow, methodical. Nothing was rushed. And yes, he knew his destination.
Right.
He knew that it was purposeful.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was going to die. He knew all of that stuff. And yet it was the journey that he was mostly focused on. Mm-hmm. Even though he would still bring it up, you know, okay, I'm going to die. And they'd all look at him like, what are you crazy?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. He never lost sight of the fact that this is a journey. And I think, again, with Bob and Karen, we hear them say, yeah, there's been four people saved in the last how many mm-hmm. years. And you think, oh, that's not very good return for a buck. You know, yeah. you can get very sort of lost in the product.
Right.
Oh, know, definitely. Because we are so consumer driven.
Right.
You know, what's the market value of yeah. all of this, you know? We're sending you overseas and we're paying you thousands of dollars to live there. And you're what? There's four? It's
only four people?
So you could be crass and harsh like that. And I think there is some measure that you have to be, you have to weigh it out. Is it viable? Right. right? Is this a viable mm-hmm. thing? But at the same time, it's a slow journey. It's the journey, not necessarily the destination.
That's right.
And so I think there's some wisdom there. And I was listening to my brother preach. He's a pastor up in Cold Lake, Alberta. And that's kind of the fun thing about COVID is I can listen to all these sermons.
Right, right? yeah.
listen to all my friends preach
yeah.
and my brother. But I really liked this point, and it fit well with what Bob said on Sunday, what Bob said in private, that it's okay to enjoy the journey mm-hmm. and embrace the journey, knowing the destination's not changed.
Right.
But the journey is the people in it. Mm-hmm. And as you're moving along, even yourself.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you
discipleship, being a disciple yeah. of Jesus, it's yep. it's a journey. It's learning. Yeah. It's yeah. growing.
Yeah. Will it ever stop? Well, it will, I suppose, when we see him face to face, for then we'll be like him.
Right.
So the goal is had.
Yeah.
But until then, nope.
We're still on that journey.
We're still on the journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. It was really good on Sunday. I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
I even wore a mask.
I did too.
When I sang.
Yeah.
And I belted out the tunes.
Oh, me too. I was singing loud.
I haven't been wearing a mask, you know, yeah. because I've been mumbling my worship.
Right.
But, and then I put the mask on. Oh, I'm going to just pound it mm-hmm. out now. So I start pounding out the song, but you can't breathe.
Right.
So you're going to you yeah. sing it out loud. And then you're like, I'm yeah. going to get some air here. And the mask kind of caves in on your yeah. face. It was quite something. Anyway, yeah. I enjoyed it. It just took me a little, maybe two songs to kind of okay,
get used to things,
get yeah. used to how this thing works. Mm-hmm. But you know, wear masks. Just
I went and bought a couple of cloth ones. I think it's
well, cloth ones are maybe stage, easier so. To sing in.
Yeah, so probably, I'll try it out this Sunday and
probably zero effective.
Yeah,
but at least it's something. Okay, they say they are. Okay, okay, I hope so. Ooh. Yeah. Oh well, but I think just for the sake of some of the ones in our church who right. do have immune
yeah.
problems, I think it's. It's worth it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, what is it, 10,
if it makes
20 minutes
them
maybe?
Comfortable
yeah.
to be
in the service with us.
The body of Christ, worshiping yeah. with the body of Christ.
It's worth
and
it
that's
then.
That's good. Yeah.
I think so. Anyway, how are we doing for time? Are we?
We got a few more minutes.
Oh, we do.
We do.
Any other topics you want to kind of crack open? Pretty quiet. Suddenly, there's dead air.
There's dead air.
Well, it doesn't.
Coming up is Soul Care.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and we're just a few weeks away from that.
Yeah.
You're on the kind of the planning crew.
Yes.
Is there anything that you want to share about what that time is going to look like? Maybe somebody who wasn't here in the spring, kind of like me.
Yeah.
Didn't go through that whole process of the preaching series, that sort of thing. What is Soul Care and what can you expect? Why is it worth coming to?
Yeah, good questions. Soul Care is a it's a conference that is put on by our district office. Mm-hmm. So the coaches who come out of the district, making sure that the church, the pastor's okay, the church is okay, the elders are okay.
Yeah.
Well, they put this on as a conference. So there's two basic conferences. One's called the Holy Spirit Encounter, which is really good and enjoyed that very much. It's really basic understanding of the Spirit's work. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, churches have, I don't know, disconnected from it I'm not, if that's maybe not the best word, but it doesn't get a lot of teaching time. Mm-hmm. It's really basic, but it's so essential.
Yeah.
And then the second conference they have is called Soul Care. And it goes a bit deeper in terms of how it deals with your emotions. It deals with things that they call like soul ties.
Okay.
Where you've maybe made a commitment to something that's not healthy for you, even as a child, and you may not be even aware of it, but it is dragging you down. It's holding you back. It's like a barnacle on the side of your boat, and it's not letting you cut through the water the way it's supposed to.
Right.
And you're cutting through the water, you're just not getting the speed you need, or it's kind of like it's resistance. It's resistance. And so in your soul, I think as you go through life, there are things that are attached to you. And, you know, yes, you become a Christian. Yes, Jesus sets you free. Your salvation is 100% for sure. Mm-hmm. And your walk with Christ is all about the walk of the Spirit. All of those things are very true. Yeah. But in our experience of it, that's why I think the experience part of it is it needs to be taught more. Mm-hmm. You have been sanctified.
Right.
As holy, but you are in the process of sanctification, which means you are becoming holy.
Yeah.
And to become that or to journey that way means that you have to deal with these things that pop up in your soul. It could be some things attached to unforgiveness.
Yeah.
It could be some demonic things even that are troubling you that in our culture, we just don't talk about demonic stuff. Mm-hmm. If you go to any other culture, say African culture or even Asian culture, the spirit realm is so much more real, right? And to us in North America and Canada, we don't really talk about that much. We don't see our lives from that perspective.
Right.
We're so practical and pragmatic and sort of like, get over it or pull your boots up, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Yeah.
But that does not always work. And the reason why is because it's a spiritual problem.
Right.
And it's not that you are demon possessed. I stay away from that whole possession thing.
Yeah.
Because if you're Christ, you're his possession.
That's right.
Right. But you can be demonized. You can be influenced by decisions you make. Even it says in Ephesians that if you hang on to your anger too long, it gives the devil a foothold. So what is a foothold? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And Soul Care goes after the footholds. It looks for those things. It says, let's have a really strong flashlight, a million candle flashlight.
Right.
And let's shine it brightly, the word of truth on our souls. Mm-hmm. And let's see if there are any of these dark spots that are in that the enemy still has a foothold in because of things like anger.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing. So that's the idea behind Soul Care. And it's a conference that we have here. I think it's October, 23rd to 25th?
Is first that... to 23rd, I think. Okay. I don't know.
It's in that 20-something week.
20-something week.
It's the Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday. And so if you're in the area here and you can come, we'd love to have you come. Yeah. You can register online at the website of the Western Canadian District of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And I think it's called transformcma.ca.
Yes.
So that's what you spell out, transformcma.ca. And then just look for the events and you'll be able to register there. And I believe it's pretty, I think it's 80 bucks or something.
$100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'd love to have as many people there as we can. It's so good. It's so healthy. If you're a new Christian, especially come learn about these things, because these will be great tools in your toolbox for how to grow up in faith.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Have we used up our looking time? Forward to it. We are about to the end of our time.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us. We look forward to next week as we jump back into Ephesians.
Yeah, you bet. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.